first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a girl in this pub with really shit hair, apparently.
She looks like Holly from...
Holly from Red... No, it's Holly.
Holly from Red...
But anyway, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 119.
You've got such bad hair. How does someone not say to you, mate...
Jim, we've been really wanting to build up towards this for a while. This is actually an intervention for you, mate.
Well, it's fine. At least you're telling me now. I can do something about it.
Well, yeah, so as I'm hoping you realise, this is the Football Podcast. We've not got in today. That is Jim Staples, as always. It's lovely to see you all, boys.
Nice.
We all alright?
Who else?
Who else?
You say that, but you sound like it was lovely. It's lovely to see you, boys.
Yeah, you know, really Jerome's here, Dam's here, Mr. Franks.
Jerome's here, does that mean Villa won?
No, of course.
No, they didn't.
For a change.
You only turn up when Villa
win. Played really well.
Though. That's why Stuart's not been on for months, though, isn't it? I did speak to him before I left the office.
What are you talking about? He sat right here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Stu. Chirpy as always. I'm going to break away tradition. I'm not going to talk about the number 119 this week. I'm going to talk about...
Why, Mike? Why?
Well, because last Sunday was the 20th anniversary of the death of the legendary Bobby Moore. And I thought it'd be nice to just have a think about him. I'm sure we've spoken about him before. He made 108 England caps, so we probably talked about him on the show. 108. But just a few little interesting facts. Franz Beckenbauer says he's the best defender ever. And for me, Franz Beckenbauer's the best defender ever, so that's quite impressive. Made his debut against Man United in 1958, wearing the number 6. He was on in place of the injured Malcolm Allison. And I think it's testament to Bobby Moore that Malcolm Allison never played for West Ham again.
Really?
After that game, yeah.
He
went on to play for Fulham. He played in America and Denmark. He managed Southend. He was neglected.
He was talking about Malcolm, weren't you?
Oh, Malcolm.
Yeah, the careers, because Bobby Moore did that.
Malcolm, he went on, he did some management. He sadly passed away last year. Another great man. But, yeah, Bobby Moore, a lot of people saying he was neglected by the FA. After he died, he ended up working for TalkSport with Jonathan Pearce. He had to drive himself to the games that he was covering. I mean, the fact that he didn't get any sort of honours after the World Cup from the royal family, he didn't get anything from the FA in his lifetime. There's a lot of guilt towards that, I feel. And of course, there's now the Bobby Moore Fund for bowel cancer, which I would urge you to all visit the website, bobbymoorefund.cancerresearchuk.org.
And the Bobby Moore suite at Wembley, and the statue.
Well, that's the thing, it's all come after his death. In life, he wasn't given the support, and he kind of...
Didn't his family have to sell his World Cup winners
medal
as well?
There was a lot of that team.
There's not many of
them. Oh, yeah, a lot of them had to sell it.
Look, not many of the team.
I think the FA have bought them all back now. But anyway... The weekend review, what happened? Jerome?
Most of the medals got sold.
Most of the medals got
sold.
Nearly
all of the families who, of the players there.
Because it's a different time though, footballers didn't earn a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah, I know, but like, when do they sort of get sold then? Where are you looking, like 70s, 80s?
Various auctions throughout 70s, 80s, 90s. I think as recently as the last decade, I'm sure somebody, I want to say George Cohen, but I don't think it was.
Are there any adverts? WeBuyAnyMedals.com and James Corden doing a really shit overview.
Yeah. Someone could have made the money, couldn't they?
Someone probably has made some money, yeah.
Yeah.
Like silver. You don't see silver much anymore, do you?
Is it?
Yeah.
People like selling silver and buying gold.
It's not working.
No. Pop your gold watch
So we've spoken about Red Dwarf, then we spoke a bit about football. Now we're talking about buying gold, which we will if you want to send us in your gold.
I can link in Bobby Moore because I tweeted this. The West Ham defenders did a really good tribute to him by complete statues for about 90 minutes on Monday night, particularly when Gareth Bale got that corner.
Wait, hold on one second because one of our listeners, Paul Sparrow, wanted us to go a whole show without mentioning a certain Welshman, and we've just broken it within 4 minutes.
However, However, one of our other listeners,
yeah,
our good friend Mr. Salomon,
the fantastic,
Mr. Salomon,
and as always, very
fantastic. Is he a magician?
Well, he might as well be with the words he uses. The language he uses is excellent.
Because unfortunately for Paul Sparrow, the question that came in before his tweet was at Football Podcast: does anyone else think AVB is shagging Bale? Discuss that. Discuss it right up the bum.
There we go.
So unfortunately, Paul,
we can't really not talk about him when
you're
talking about Premier League football at the moment.
Well, Tim Bevan also wanted us to talk about him because he asked, and you'll like this, Dan, where will Gareth Bale go when Arsenal beat Spurs to 4, and how much do you reckon? 40 million plus Nani to United? That's a good shout. I'd take that, although I want to keep Nani. I'd take it.
He's just... he's on another level at the moment. Isn't he?
Well, that's it. He looks like he is making the step up, like Ronaldo did in 2006, 2007.
You look at what happened to another level, though. They didn't really work.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything.
I once saw Dane Bowers sat outside here, actually.
Really?
Yeah, with a load of women. And he once cracked onto my sister.
Didn't get anywhere?
Talking of which... we had Nick W from Bolton down a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, Nicky Dub.
And I spoke to him this morning and said, do you need any more stories? And I was like, well, don't make them up. If you've got him in. The girlfriend I was talking to, we were talking about, who did she get advances from?
The wife.
Danny Shitting.
Yeah. The wife. She found out that she was on the podcast, so he paid it to her. And she said, oh, interestingly as well, Roy Carroll sent her a bottle of champagne over in a nightclub once as well. So basically, Nick's wife just gets propositioned by footballers.
Fantastic.
She sent it back, though.
I think
I'd like to add that.
Class. It was empty when she sent it back.
Speaking of class, back to Gareth Bale.
Has he tried to get into...
Well, here's a question that's been around a lot recently.
I have, because he's scoring loads at the moment, yeah. So I'd fear for him.
Are Tottenham a one-man team?
Define a one-man team.
That's the thing, is it?
Adebayor was incredible on that
night. He was awful.
He bossed the game, he didn't give their centre-backs a moment's peace. Yeah. Good in the air, good on the ball.
Match had to be Gylfi Sigurdsson as well. What a finish.
Adebayor in that as well. Dawson,
Dawson and Coulker were good. Vertonghen, apart from the second goal, was solid. Okay, he can't defend for us,
yeah.
So he's definitely not defending for us, but as attack-wise, we're looking pretty lackluster.
I think you can only really define a one-man team after the players left. So Ronaldo, for example, United struggled a bit but have recovered, whereas, say, Napoli with Maradona, he left and they went into obscurity for 15, 20 years.
It's about the fact that if you've got a player that's on that sort of form, you're going to give him the ball. You're going to give him the ball, because when someone's on fire that much, you're going to give him the ball. You know,
reminds me of a young Andy Sinton.
The last time we played,
he reminds me of a shit Roll Fox.
Leave it. The last time we played was like when I was at Spurs for the Reading game when he was banned, and we won 3-1. So it's
against Reading.
Who have been on a very good run of form until this weekend.
And that game against Spurs.
Yeah.
Aside from that, they've been fucking brilliant. And when they lost to United. They've been brilliant.
They've had a good 6 weeks.
You
don't know which Reading's going to turn up.
No, it's Wigan. Wigan. You know which Wigan.
I'm saying you don't know which Reading's
going to turn up. You always know what Reading's going to turn up.
Yeah. Well, and you know what which Wigan's going to turn up from this time in the season onwards, the one that actually wins games.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Because the season starts here, doesn't it, Roberto? I would actually say standout performance for Wigan, for me. Partly because you're all going to name the more obvious ones, but to go away against a fellow team fighting for their life and win 3-0, I think it looks like Wigan could be doing the old magic trick again.
Some great goals as well. Good football.
Yeah. This weekend, the goals were magnificent.
You can't write Martinez and Wigan off.
I think this weekend, another standout performance, and Jim sent this on to me from the Mirror. Although I think
Thunder Bastards.
Football 365, their headline was Cisse scores Thunder Bastard in 4-2 win.
Do you know where that was from?
Where was it from?
I don't know. Gary Neville.
Yeah, he went Thunder Bed Bolt.
Yeah. Gary Neville nearly said Thunder Bastard when describing the
Spurs. It's a great term.
It is.
It was a Thunder Bastard of a goal. Well.
I'm amazed that was never used when Tony Yeboah was around.
Oh, yeah. He had a few Thunder Bastards, didn't he?
But that is brilliant.
I mean, it sat up. It's one of those goals, Cisse's goal, where it did set up beautifully for him. It's one of those ones where it's asking to be hit, and he just hit it perfectly.
Same as Raphael's. Raphael's for United.
Yeah. Same as Ricky Johnson.
Yeah. We don't condone domestic violence.
Throw that in.
But no, speaking of
asking, just rose up nicely and you can't help yourself. When in like that, you just got to put your foot through it.
All right, Harry. speaking of Gary Neville, it's interesting, I saw on the Guardian website, Jim will remember this, a few years ago I used to go on about Gary Neville every show and everyone hated him but me.
Didn't he get voted into the podcast like all time?
He did, he got voted in at right back, you know.
We had like Bobby Moore, Franz Beckenbauer, Gary Neville at right back, Roberto Carlos at left back.
Yeah, he beat, I think he beat Cafu and...
I can't have been involved in that debate.
No, you weren't, it was...
I think that's when Sawhead left.
I think it was, yeah. He just picked up his toes. But no, everyone hated him. But The Guardian this week ran their most likeable footballers 11. And Gary Neville was at right back because since he's stopped playing, people love him.
I love him.
It's the punditry.
I imagine Elhaj Juth was in there somewhere as well.
Yeah, I think he was in midfield with Dennis Wise. But no, any more standout performances? Go on, Dan Silva. Apart from anything Tottenham related,
well, I think.
All right then, now we'll move on.
Okay. Yeah, did I mention that? No, Tottenham. I'm doing it. I'm saying it. Norwich's 2-1 win at home to Everton. Very big result.
Yeah, great result.
Everton.
Grant Holt's put on a bit as well, hasn't he? He's always been a big lad, but he's put on even more.
Well, that's what happens when you get that pay rise. It's all gone on pies. Certainly not gone on goals.
Where was he rumoured to be going? It was Villa for a while.
Villa and... I think Southampton and Reading and every... Every shit.
Southampton, Lambert and... Holt up front. That would be interesting.
That would be... I'd like that on the level that I like Sean Derry and Clint Hill at QPR, because again, they were just like plasterers who were playing in the Sunday League team, not professional
footballers. My standout would be the lad at West Brom. Who reminds me of a young Kanu.
Lukaku.
Yeah.
He's coming. He said he doesn't want to go back now as well. He wants to play.
Did you see his second goal was just a deflection? He just tackled the goalkeeper.
He's going to cost an awful lot of money, though.
Dubai,
Chelsea. I think they paid 18 million for it.
Even if he wants to play, maybe another loan.
Maybe another loan.
Thoughtful international for Belgium, isn't it?
Right, so a question for you. If you was a Chelsea fan, obviously I think Torres has pretty much run out of options the new boss will come in and give him another try.
Stuck with him. They're not going to be able to offload him.
Back to Spain.
Back to Atletico Madrid with Falcao going the other way.
For a long time, Chelsea
wages though. Torres is on ridiculous money now.
There's ways around that. Chelsea might pay some of his wages.
And it's about and going home. It's
going
about
home, yeah.
Going home, packing your bags. If I was a Chelsea fan, I'd lock him back in.
Lukaku? Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
I wouldn't want to see him sold. Or
we can do what Drogba used to do. Actually, called a bit
score goals.
Yeah.
Well, score goals.
But then again, if you're Lukaku, if Chelsea are probably going to go and buy a... sort of marquee they'll buy a Falcao or a Cavani.
He's not going to go back. He's not going to want to go back.
No. I mean, if you're buying, what they need is a big striker like Lukaku to play that central role. They're going to play too often.
Well, Demba Ba's not a bad shout for that role anyway, but it's whether he's got that extra bit of class to do
it. It's whether or not Benitez is going to play him.
Yeah.
If he's playing Torres,
Benitez isn't going to be there anyway next season. Let's be honest. We're talking about season going forward. Joe Hart as well. Man City, although they're doing rubbish in terms of Man United, still got the best defence in the league. When you look at Richards is out injured.
Zabaleta's been fantastic.
Company's been out. Lescott's only just returning. They still have the best defence. It's pretty amazing. And that penalty save.
I mean, it was a shit penalty to give away in the first place. He never should have come for that ball because he was going away from goal.
But Lampard did it well.
But watch it. Penalty
should he have been booked? Joe Hart? I didn't think he got booked. No, he got nothing.
There wasn't that much difference. No. That and the lad getting sent off in a League Cup final as well.
Yeah. I can go on to that.
But yeah, that penalty save from Hart was outstanding. It really was.
What? My standout performance, Jonathan de Guzman.
Yeah,
on Sunday. For just not up. Refusing to give the ball to someone else to take the penalty.
That's your standout performance.
Yeah, definitely stand out. Right. He just weren't giving it away, was he? But he put it away.
No chance. He's on a hat trick. He's on a hat trick in a cup final.
Who cares?
And he's 3-0 up.
So what? It doesn't matter.
Fair play to him.
Bollocks. To be honest, I feel
they've not got a designated penalty taker.
So it's whoever gets fouled.
Yeah, well, it's not that. I think between me.
I wish it was Gary Monk who got fouled.
Griezmann's taken it. He's gone. So he's come up and said, "I want it because I've put on my hat trick."
Stand your ground. Away from the fact Nathan Dyer, when he got taken off, was still aggrieved at the fact that he felt someone had stolen something that was his. That is ironic. If anyone knows Nathan Dyer's background and Brandon Wright Phillips' background, that's ironic. That is irony at its best. That is irony. Coming up, oh, you've played well, you've scored 2 goals, well done. Slap, there's for being a twat.
No one has ever scored a hat trick in a League Cup final.
He should be in jail.
Silence. Right, lads.
He should be in jail.
That's lovely, Jim. Let's agree to disagree. I personally agree with Dan, thinking it was a bit tight. But if you've been fouled, you want to score in a cup final. It doesn't matter. You put it away.
Probably
who
on
cares?
A 10 grand gold bar, but it's in a major domestic cup final. Yeah. Something like that as well.
I mean, at the end of the day, if I was Nathan Dyer, I'd probably be a bit pissed off. And then after the match, fuck it. I've won man of the match. We've won a cup final 5-0 against a team that have had the nation behind them, have knocked out Arsenal, have knocked out Watford, have knocked out Wigan.
Move on.
I mean, yeah.
Well played. Bradford fans will call it as well.
Yeah.
I've got another candidate for stand out or stand down, depending on your views on child cruelty. I'm going to show this to the boys. These two have seen it already, but someone did this to their child.
Oh right, my god, we have our show photo.
You can describe that for the. Oh, it'll be the show photo. Describe it for the listeners in it.
Well, as if you listen a few weeks ago, we had the little boy who was blacked up to like El Hadji Jew.
This is a little boy.
This is a baby, months. Yeah, about six months.
He doesn't look very happy, does
he? A white baby. With a yellow sponge on his head.
It's the sponge that I love. That's what I love most about everything.
A baby grow with Why Always Me written on, and yes, what looks like Nutella smeared on his face.
It does look like chocolate. I hope they just got the dog over. Like, lick that off.
Yeah.
Just the dog licking this little baby's face.
It's absolutely outrageous.
Did it come from his pretty full looking nappy?
Oh, that's wrong.
But I quite like that. So no. stand out for me, his parents.
Standing performance.
Stand down
the
baby for not lifting up a shirt to reveal that.
He got yellow carded. Don't worry about that. They used the sponge. Just turn the sponge round.
Bloody hell. I tell you, he was still doing pretty well for me, which I'm pretty chuffed. Being my hometown is Brighton, who are still marching on.
Yeah.
Beat Burnley 1-0 at the weekend. They're now into the playoff places, a point ahead of Borough, and a game in hand. So I think Gus Poyet, he's got to be on a few radars next year. I hope he doesn't, because he's doing really well for Brighton. But
he was on the radar last year, I think.
Well, the Chelsea job will be going. Former Chelsea player.
Even more so this year, the way he's doing. But Brighton have got a solid team. You've got to look at Wayne Bridge, you've got Matty Hudson.
Vicente
is playing really well. It's good. For me, it's good to see him marching on.
Yeah, still very cosy at the top of League One, isn't it, Mr. Franks?
4 points separating 7 teams, and actually in the last 5 weeks, you've had 5 different teams at the top, being Tranmere, Doncaster, Sheffield United, Bournemouth and Swindon.
Bournemouth are done now.
Bournemouth lost 2-0 last night.
They're going to lose as many games as they won in a row.
They won 2-0 at Coventry last night.
But this is what keeps happening.
Who did?
Bournemouth.
Coventry won 2-0.
Learn to describe better.
You're
than
almost as
I can
bad.
Even tell you the scorers. Leon Clark scored a penalty.
Definitely written that down.
You're
right.
Almost as bad.
The
Coventry fan. Did you hear about this? We actually got tweeted it by Red Apple Creative. Dan, the Coventry fan, who phoned in 606 to bemoan his side's abysmal 0-0 draw with Crewe, only to find out that he'd left too early and they'd won 2-0.
He left with 2. Didn't he do it on players these days? He left.
They didn't beat Crewe.
Did you beat Burnley as well?
No, you're talking about the Johnsons. They played Crewe at home on Saturday in the league and lost.
Yeah, but last week in the Johnsons' paint, it was 0-0 with 2 minutes to go. And
he still lost the overall tie.
But even his mates have left.
They pulled it back, didn't they?
Yeah. So he's got on the phone.
Back. They lost 3-2.
Hang on.
He's
got on the phone to 606 and gone and just went, I can't believe our performance tonight. I can't believe to draw 0-0. I thought we'd at least give it a go and win 1 or 2-0. I can't believe it on live radio. And the game has gone.
I get the facts.
Hang on, mate.
But they scored twice in injury time. They were never in that game, were they? Even when they scored the last goal.
This is not the debate. It's just that if you're going to phone up to be on national radio, at least know the fucking score.
Well, I don't know, I quite like him.
Well, there you go.
Good on you, Dan.
This comes down to fans leaving games early before 90 minutes.
That's a whole other debate for a whole other time. But speaking of League One, David Beckham made his debut in League One, didn't he? Or League One, as it's known.
Got Ronaldo as well. I didn't read the article, but I saw Ronaldo with a number 9 shirt. Ronaldo, PSG. So they've signed the fat Ronaldo.
Fat Ronaldo.
He's not fat anymore.
He's not a footballer anymore either. He makes Grant Holt look like a weaker Johnson.
But he's not playing football anymore. In fact, what if Ronaldo wants to be
fat? He makes Grant Holt look like Ulrika Johnson.
Oh, we're not going back there. We're not going back
Why
there.
Why not let him be fat?
He's fine being fat, but he just...
He's not going to score many goals, is he, let's be honest.
They haven't actually signed him, I'm sure. But he was just there.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Presumably he doesn't play anymore. He's studying to do marketing, isn't he, from memory?
He's going to be working in London.
Yeah.
You know,
we're going to be dealing with him, aren't we? Yeah. God, he's going to be more confident than some people.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that'll be expensive.
But old Beck's got an assist for the second goal, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Although apparently he was outshone by another English midfielder, Mr. Joseph Barton.
Did you see French sport magazine, who the preview before the game basically had angels versus demons, uh-huh, and had Beckham as an angel and Joey Barton in like a little red devil face. It was they were really tearing it up, but he's a good start for Beck, isn't it?
They got him a game.
They're playing him again tonight.
Is it Ancelotti?
Ancelotti, yeah.
You said he started Beckham as well.
Is it a cup game though? Is that a cup game?
Yeah, it's a cup game. But that's the biggest derby.
That could be on ESPN or something. I can have a little look at that.
Probably I'm sure it'll be shown somewhere, yeah. But no.
Can we mention Sean, obviously, last week, I wasn't on the show, but I'm taking you mentioned he was leaving.
Yeah.
Probably listening now as well. I'll keep it quicker than one of his stories. But turned up to his leaving door on Friday night in the middle of Leicester Square, or Chinatown.
Yeah.
Walked upstairs, and there was 8 people wearing Real Sociedad fans. He'd invited 8 people from Spain to his leaving door, and they turned up wearing... Were they wearing hats, or have I made that up?
Some of them were. And when they came in...
They were basically dressed up like typical Spanish tourists with a hat, a donkey and Sociedad shirts in the middle of the dance
room. I hope there's a picture somewhere.
I don't know.
I think there is actually.
And they went to watch, I was chatting to one of them and he's like, "Hey," I was like, "All right, mate, what are you over for?" He went, "We come to watch," "We come to watch Premier League game." I went, "Oh, you seen him in Reading?" I went, "Oh." He was like, "Will it be a good game? Who are they playing? Wigan." I'm going to go to the bar, mate. It turns out it was a good game. Unless they were supporting Reading, but I mean, decent game of football.
Well, I'm sure they had a laugh.
The beauty of Sean Miller. 8 Sociedad fans turning up to his leaving there. So.
Well, hey.
And I'm pretty sure they listen to the podcast, so if you want to do a bit of Spanish, especially for them now.
Hola, mi amo Mike.
Scuccio.
Jim, Jos Cervezas.
Mi amo Mike, that means I love Mike.
No, it means my name is Mike.
That's Jose, isn't it?
No, I thought it was mi amo, yeah. Learn to speak Spanish better. Actually, we're talking about Balotelli. He played in the Milan derby at the weekend and was racially abused by presumably not a load of babies, but the Inter fans.
Which is terrible. It's very, very. It's terrible. And something can be done, but.
Similarly, the Rangers fans are in trouble.
Can we just mention the news that's come through today about Mario Balotelli? Because it's absolutely outstanding. Mario Balotelli has ordered a life-size statue of him to quote, immortalise himself. Right? He has sanctioned artist Livio Scapella.
Good artist.
To basically do a life-size statue that represents him scoring his goals, highlighting his muscles with an expression of defiance.
So basically, from the semi-final,
it's going to be a mix of a classical and pop style in platinum and coloured bronze with the eyes made of stone.
Sounds lovely.
Absolutely magnificent. Only Balotelli would commission a statue of himself to be made.
Well, Balotelli isn't going to be the biggest striker in Milan anymore, because have you heard who Inter Milan have signed? And this is not a joke. John Carew.
Really?
Signed a short-term deal with Inter Milan.
Where has he been?
He's not been at a club since he left West Ham in the summer.
Really?
Because Milito is out for the rest of the season, and I can't remember their other striker, but they've signed him on a free. John Carew.
Big John Carew.
Big John Carew. Loves the lap dance.
Bigger than me and you.
Yeah. Dear, oh dear.
Well, you just said it just as like it was just bigger than me.
Definitely bigger than you.
Oh, yeah, alright.
Yeah, significantly so.
How tall are you?
6'3".
Gareth Bale's 6'3", isn't he?
Oh, damn it. I think you've got something that's growing to 6 foot three over Gareth Bale, but we'll move on.
You're not wrong, actually, Michael.
Nah, dear, oh dear.
I'm about to go, but can I also just stand down Port Vale fans? I really hate it.
Any particular reason?
Just because they're absolutely...
My auntie Sharon's a Port Vale fan.
Well, I don't like it. A few of them are just completely infatuated with Gillingham. We had a player on loan and he went back to his club and they started going mad on Twitter, like using our hashtags, which just Jules fans will use, to go, oh,
how
you lost
dare
your
they use your hashtag?
It's actually Simon Hedge hashtag.
Just when you've got. The point
I'm about to make is we're top, they're second, and they're more worried about us. I don't care about Port Vale. I'm looking at the team that are fourth, because if we finish in the top three, we go up automatically. As a football fan, I want to get promoted. If we get promoted, then I might care about if we finish top or not. But
first things first.
League Two is rubbish.
Yeah.
I hate it. I want to go up.
I thought it was our league.
Well, it will be next season if we don't go up. If we do, then League One's our league. But you get what I'm saying. They're infatuated. They're like 2 points, 3 points behind us. And when something goes bad for us or we lose a game, they're all over it. They absolutely love it. They should just look at fourth place, which is Burton and Rotherham, who are steaming through the league at the moment anyway. So,
well, maybe if they don't make it, it'll make people laugh at them.
You could use some of their hashtags, the bastards. Hashtag Port Vale or gay.
The other day, we went from, we've been top all season, they went top, and someone actually tweeted saying, ha ha Gillingham, where's your points gone now, forever in our shadow. Forever in our shadow. Port Vale.
What?
Don't care. Port Vale are a bigger club than Gillingham. That's fine. I don't care about that. But forever in our
shadow. Are they?
Leave it, Jim. Leave it, Jim.
We'll leave it. If Port Vale fans want to start a podcast and respond, that'd be lovely.
I'm using this as a mouthpiece. To voice my displeasure.
For your
two or three people.
For your own marginal political opinion.
It's not all Port Vale fans. So your auntie Sharon... I'm sure she's a nice girl.
Yeah, Jim Staples, the Glenn Beck of the
football
podcast.
I'll send her over a bottle of champagne, which she can send back next time I'm there.
Dear, oh dear. Well, speaking of disappointments, we weren't really, but I'm going to say that anyway.
So there was no leak there.
There was no leak.
Speaking of disappointments, then you looked down and thought, I haven't got anything to do with that.
No, there is, because...
speaking
Well, it's been a disappointing
words.
Link, so...
Well, no, yeah, I mean,
learn
it,
to
there
link,
you
learn
go.
To link better.
But
what were you going to say?
FC20 have been listening to us because
second
choice Steve has left. Yeah.
Oh shucks.
Apparently, it was a mutual decision.
Really?
Mutual decision. I'm sure he didn't.
We don't want to pay you anymore.
Steve, go home is what they were singing the last game. Yeah.
Do you know where they were in the league?
They're fifth. So they've dropped off and they're now 6 points off the top when they were level.
But fifth in the Dutch league is hardly good, is it? When you're a club like
you're nowhere. You're nowhere.
Fifth in the A-League and room with a chance of a title.
To be fair, I think 20 probably are about the fifth biggest team.
Well played.
Dear, oh dear. But no, I think 20 are probably about the fifth biggest team in Holland, so I don't know what the
moment.
Ajax, PSV, Feyenoord, AZ Alkmaar.
They probably just got better now that McLaren's actually left.
Yeah, so maybe they'll go up.
Talking about bad managers, Rafa Benitez... Chelsea, Middlesbrough tonight. Well, it's Middlesbrough.
Well,
Chelsea.
The BBC have already predicted Middlesbrough going through. Yeah, if you saw my tweet. Yeah. So
I really hope Middlesbrough win tonight. They've only picked up something like 4 points in 25 in the league or something like that. But
oh, yeah, they're dropping off the playoff places.
I'd absolutely love it if they beat Chelsea.
That'd be fantastic.
Oh. Yeah. And actually, can you actually see Benitez being kept in a job?
No.
If they lose to Middlesbrough and the league form continues like it does.
Well, because they were drawn into the Tottenham Arsenal.
There's a potential.
There's
a potential banana skin for Chelsea on Saturday against West Brom, because the last time Chelsea played West Brom, when a manager was not bringing in the results.
Lukaku can't play though, can he?
No, Lukaku's not playing.
That's a big loss.
They've got other people playing, but you know, West Brom is a bad fixture for Chelsea managers doing badly.
Yeah,
fair.
Well, we'll keep an eye. But speaking of unrelated links, listener Bradley Brown has sent us a message asking us our opinions on the investigation at the moment on whether alcohol should be allowed back into the stands.
No. As much as I would say yes, and
you wish that
I frequent egg chasing reasonably often every now and again, where you can sit at Twickenham in the stands with a pint. And it's great, but it's because the general atmosphere and the people seem to be a bit more sensible.
It's a bit more middle class.
Yeah, it is a little bit. But the problem is you bring that back to... I know, then I suppose you can argue the fact that, well, people get pissed before the game and turn up, they're still going to be
But it's just removing another barrier to
it. It's asking for trouble. It's asking for unnecessary trouble, especially when you've got kids around and stuff, and then.
No, the last thing you want is kids drinking in the stand. That'd be terrible. That's an awful idea, Dan.
Sorry, mate.
Why would you suggest that? But Bradley agrees with us, so that's all right. We're all friends here.
Yeah, it's just asking for trouble, isn't it? Unfortunately.
Naughty boys. The people who supply the pies to Aberdeen, because Aberdeen FC have become the first football club to be embroiled in the horse meat scandal. They didn't sell pies at last night's game against Ross County, which they lost 1-0 at home. They had to buy in extra stocks of chicken pies and macaroni.
Ooh.
Who's been to the football and had macaroni?
Macaroni cheese?
I don't know if it was a macaroni pie or macaroni cheese. I'd quite like macaroni cheese at the football, but it's not.
A macaroni cheese pie would be overdoing it a bit.
Oh, it would. That's carbs. Central, isn't it? As you all know, we do the Atkins diet, so it wouldn't work. But no, Aberdeen, it's a shame for them. They on whoever's providing their pies, definitely a naughty boy. Also, James McLean, who's finally quit Twitter after another sectarianism problem when he's been tweeting songs by hardline IRA bands that he like. So, kind of makes a moment.
I've got a naughty boy.
On the other side of it, though, Rangers fans have got in trouble for sectarian chanting against Berwick Rangers, to the point that the club apologised for it while the game was still going on. They issued a statement while the game was still going on.
Bloody hell.
About it. That's how bad it was.
It's going on to sort of crowd trouble and stuff. In Bulgaria, the Bulgarian Football League have now sanctioned that officials can actually stop the game and call the game off or stop the game during the time if there's any racist chanting, because Bulgaria under-21s got caught doing it, Bulgaria national team got doing it, and also a couple of clubs as well.
I think snipers on the roof would do just as good a job.
Yeah,
I think it's a great idea.
Snipers on the roof.
It's a first step.
Each person who's found to have been racist gets 5 minutes with David Hay.
Hey.
Fantastic. Or a similarly hard black man. So,
Audley Harrison,
that'd be what's going to tickle him for 5 minutes. If you're listening, Audley, we're only joking. Don't come round.
He did actually win the other night, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. He's broken his vow of silence now.
He's gone down to. That's prize fight. Anyway.
I think he was fighting in here.
Boxing.
He was in the car park.
Oh, what would we rather talk about?
Yeah. Any other naughty boys?
I got a naughty boy. Gareth Bale, that rascal of a shot.
Oh,
yes.
You cad.
Oh, yes, what a rascal.
You know what? Right, so Bale keeps coming up. Everyone now is talking about player of the season. For me, Bale's not
going to win. It's not a bad link, actually. Not a bad shout.
Player of the season, everyone's starting to talk about it now.
Yeah.
I personally don't see how you can look past Robin Van Persie if he remains fit and scoring goals at the end of the season.
This is the big debate.
And Suarez, I mean, actually, the Mirror ran a really good article on the back of the paper today.
I saw it, yeah.
It's really good because it looks at minutes played, chances converted, and the rest of it. Van Persie scored more goals from outside the box with his head and both of his feet than Suarez and Bale and other people.
Bale's not a striker.
Well,
Bale's not a striker, but the team is all focused around Bale.
Now, at the moment,
these are the arguments. The problem is Gareth Bale didn't exactly start the season fantastically. He was good, but
he's doing it. He scored
something like 12 league goals in 12 league games and 15 in total. So that means
19 goals in total he's got now.
But in the league, it's 15.
Right, in the league, it's 15.
So he scored 12 of those 15 in 12 games. He scored 3 in the other 18 games or 16 games.
Yeah. Does anyone think that Suarez has actually got a decent chance to win it? Personally, for me, no. He misses it.
It's between him and Michu.
Michu and Van Persie.
They're the four names that have been
mentioned at Swansea.
But Michu's gone off the ball a bit as well.
Has he?
He scored the weekend.
But he started the season.
Michu's form's been almost as bad as Reading's has been good, it seems.
But Michu started the season fantastically, but he's gone a little bit quiet.
Van Persie hasn't scored in
this
a few either.
This is what I mean. So
I'm saying Bell's like coming to the forefront now towards the end of the season.
Remember that Van Persie... Van Persie's got 10 assists as well this season, which is, he's not only scoring 20 plus, but he's bringing
trying to take my bias out, but if Bale continues on the form that he's doing and it continues to the end of the season at the rate that he's going now, I think he'd have to.
He's a good top scorer. He's definitely a great shout for it.
If you manage to get him to if he managed to get you to third place,
in regards to there's an argument.
But yeah, I'd agree Van Persie, but obviously I'm quite biased towards it. I'd be very interested to see how Michu does next season. Because think back to Benny McCarthy and think back to Rocky Santa
that
Cruz.
Second season,
and
season.
So
I tell you what, though, Goal of the Season is going to be a bit of a contender this year, isn't it?
Well, it's going to be renamed Thunder Bastard of the Season.
The Thunder Bastard of the Season, yeah.
Precisely. It will by the podcast, anyway.
Yeah. But moving on to Australia, and before you go on to the Hearts.
Absolutely.
Chris Edwards sent us a message. There has now been 5 coaches resign or be sacked during the season. Now that Ricky Herbert has left Wellington Phoenix, he's been replaced by Chris Greenacre, formerly of Tranmere. But a bit of a managerial merry-go-round.
Yeah,
have we had those problems at the Heart, though?
No, we have not. John Aloisi is still there. Do you know what? I haven't done a proper update for quite a while now. So
yeah, we know.
I know, sorry. But looking at the Heart, I mean, last week they won 3-1
fantastic
at home to
result.
Sydney. It's a great result. And the fact is, they're now sat very pretty in fifth place, as Stapes manager threw in earlier before he left. They're sitting fifth place, so they're in the playoff places. The top four are pretty much run away with it. There's only five games to go, and there's 9 points between Melbourne Victory in fourth, and Hart in fifth. And the problem is, though, Newcastle Jets are in 6th on 27 points, Sydney FC are 7th on 27 points, Brisbane on 25 points, 22-21, Perth and Wellington. It's so tight down the bottom. There's only 5 games to go, and it's pretty much anyone's game. And Hart are a 5th on goal difference at the moment.
As Emileski starts banging in the goals for Jets, that might change.
It could do.
Form's the key, isn't it? Who's got the form coming
in? This is the massive thing, and this is what's been talked about a lot this last week or so with Hart, is that they've only got 1 away win the entire season.
Yeah.
And that was against Melbourne Victory in the first game of the season. But they've only lost twice at home all season. Like basically, they are an unbelievable home team, beating nearly everyone.
They're the Fulham of Australia.
Precisely. And they can't get an away point. And it's massive now. There's 5 games left. 2 are at home, 3 are away. They're going to have to get some points on the road. Although the next away game is at bottom side Wellington Phoenix. Huge, huge game.
Come on, Hart.
Come on, the Hart.
Lucas Neal, made his debut for Sydney in the 3-1
loss.
Did he punch anyone? No.
Did he turn down Barcelona to go there for the football challenge, like when he turned down Liverpool for Blackburn?
No, I don't believe he did. But, I mean, this was Hart's fifth,
greedy bastard.
This was Hart's 5th home win in a row. Like, they're on fire at home, and if they can just sort out a couple of away points, they'll be in that playoff place, and then who knows anything to the finals, and it's anyone's game.
Well,
go on, the Heart,
fingers crossed, and then when we can get there and beat Mr. Doubleton's beloved Western Sydney Wanderers, all the better.
Absolutely.
Well, on that note, I think we can link quite nicely to the end of the show.
The end of the show, Michael.
The end of the show, yeah, we've all had fun.
It's been great.
You know the normal score. Email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast, where the complaints go.
At Jim Stables, he's not
at
here.
Actually,
I don't even give him that much action on Twitter. No. I'd rather he lost a load of
followers. Maybe we
should
send it to @Milladonna10 this week.
Bless him.
He's not here, the bastard.
Rest in peace.
Visit footballpodcast.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter @thefootballpodcast. It's been a pleasure as always, and we'll see you next week.
I think we've had a couple more reviews. I think we'll get them up next week.
Have we? Oh, well, that's something to look forward to, and if we've not, we'll make them up.
Absolutely.
Lovely.